necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
What is up, Long Island? This is Kara from It Came From the Radio. I am just the temporary host for today. Mark is here with me. He's laughing at me.
I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing with you.
No, you're laughing at me. And here's the senior correspondent, Charlie, my Italian bro.
Hey, what's the matter for you? Hey.
And then Hassan is somewhere in purgatory, homatory. I don't know. Somewhere. Hassan, you there? He's not there.
He's not there?
Okay. So he's probably confused. So I'm temporary host for today because it's my last day as the intern or ex-intern, as Mark calls me. I am also known as Kara the Great.
And in her own mind.
And not in my own mind. It's the truth. But I'm going to be carrying today's show. I'm excited.
Hooray.
So... If you wanna listen in, make sure you have the TuneIn app for the multimedia devices, and you better be sure to follow It Came From the Radio on Facebook and Twitter. Their Twitter name is @ICFTR. And as for the archives for today's show or last week's show, I don't know how it works, they will be updated in about a week or so. Am I right?
Yeah, you're doing so far. Yeah.
I don't know how they work either.
And the news for today is brought to you by, in part by the rat pastors at Belmore Towing.
Yeah, you can't really laugh while saying that. You got to be like...
You have to keep it together.
Keep it together. Okay.
Yeah.
The news is brought to you by, in part, by the Rat Bastards at Belmore Towing, located in Belmore, New York. And the movie Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Monkey Killer, where Abraham Lincoln comes out of retirement to go up against the legendary vampire monkeys of the 22nd century. And I want to throw in an idea that these vampire monkeys team up with Sharknado. They ride on sharks. Out of the tornado.
Vampire monkeys riding on sharks.
Tornado.
I'm listening to this and I'm thinking it's a hit.
Yeah.
Get ready
for
the sequel.
The search for more money. The search for more money is over. We found it.
They're instead of horses, they're riding flying sharks.
Sharks.
You know
even
what?
Better. Even
better. You know what? That's easy. I would kill someone who came to me and said that they hated that movie. I would literally go to jail. Having murdered that person.
I mean, I'm a huge fan of Sharknado and Sharknado 2. I made my poor grandpa watch Sharknado, and he turned and looked at me. He's like, Kara, why are you doing this to me?
Because you have to.
Ex-intern. We don't know why. We understand why Abraham Lincoln, or Abraham Lincoln, vampire monkey killer shark rider, is going to be a great movie. But we don't know why Belmore Towing are a bunch of rat bastards. You can elaborate on that.
Well,
we gotta take the 2 minutes that we've wasted to the last 10 shows to explain why Belmore Towing is our bunch of
rat
bastards.
Mark has this covered.
they're famous for their rat bashly yet legal business practices of charging for such things as charging you for $50 for a $7 lug nut to repair your car.
There you go. That's all I wanted.
It's the law of supply and demand. We have all the supply, we can demand whatever the hell we want.
As long as we said that what they're doing is bastardy, yet legal.
Yet legal.
Fine. We're
legal.
Covered.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know.
Please continue.
Okay. Yes, so let's take it away with the news.
Yes, let's take it away from the news. We're going to start with Scooby-Doo. And I'm a huge fan of Scooby-Doo. I grew up on Scooby-Doo.
Nobody asked.
Shut up, Hassan.
I think everybody's grown up on Scooby Doo. It's been around.
No, it'll be a lot. It's been around. It'll be a lot of pressure on his back.
So from the How Did This Happen department, the latest Scooby-Doo direct-to-DVD release, Scooby-Doo, Frank and Creepy, which follows the gang as they head to Transylvania to check out a castle that Velma has inherited from her great-great-uncle Dr. Von Dinkenstein, has stirred up controversy.
Uh-oh.
Seems that during the feature, Mark's personal favorite, Daphne Blake, gets cursed. Daphne, really?
Yeah.
Okay. But not like how she did in the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, where she turned into a werewolf, but winds up losing the thing that holds her
the most dear,
quote-unquote, which is her figure, because she is hexed to a balloon from size 2 to size 8, and that is where all hell breaks loose. The internet backlash has started with people condemning the cartoon with quotes such as, "It's sad to think that my daughter can't even watch a cartoon about a dog solving crimes without negative body stereotypes being thrown in her face." And
what?
And an 8 is smaller than I am. I must be cursed too. Such nonsense. Quick to defend themselves, Warner Brothers released a statement.
Are you going to do the executive voice like Mom?
Yeah, you got to.
I have to.
You have no choice.
Okay. Saying, Warner Brothers is always a sensitive sensitive to displaying themes of I can't do it. No. Of obesity and self-image, especially with the franchise's target audience is children and families. The loss of Daphne's regular appearance is proven to be a superficial thing and not what actually matters the most to her. It goes on to point out that Fred Jones...
If I close my eyes, I actually can picture a jerky corporate guy in a suit.
Executive, yes, good job.
All those years of drama acting in high school.
Well done.
It goes on to point that Fred Jones didn't even notice a change and that she always looks great to him. But it doesn't really help at all because of the backlash, and which went on to say that message could be worse of all, that a woman's self-esteem and acceptance of her body and looks comes from a man's approval and not from within. And
oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
All right.
So they're upset that their daughters are going to get this image and they're going to get this opinion of bad body shaming, right from mm-hmm. cartoons.
Yes.
Right? So then when Warner Brothers turns around and says, well, Fred doesn't care, she can look any way she wants, you know, it's all good with us, they're saying it's even worse because now she has to get that approval from Fred.
The
problem is, they're saying that you're getting an image from a cartoon and feeling bad about yourself. So that belies the same kind of inference that the approval would make. You know, so if Fred's approval isn't relevant, mm-hmm. then your opinion of Daphne on television isn't relevant. So the whole thing is a waste.
I mean, it kind of looking at this, I'm surprised since this is Scooby-Doo, but this kind of takes it personal because I'm a size 12. I'm kind of thick is what people describe, and you know, I have no problems being a size 12. That's coming from being an athlete since I was 5 years old up until I was like 18, 19 years old. So saying that this whole body issue, see, it just makes me mad. I don't even...
Well, I'm a size...
Yeah, but you're probably not going to be affected by watching a cartoon. You're probably not going to see a cartoon say something about being a size 12 or being something bigger than a size 5 and say, oh, you know, my entire life is ruined because I'm not the same size as Daphne. Wow. What it requires people to be have self-esteem and to be mature, you know, and to not self-identify with what you're watching on television. And so it's kind of the whole argument's kind of ridiculous. In my opinion, the argument is ridiculous. Well, from my desk, from the desk of Hans Godwin, the argument is ridiculous.
I'm a size 82, and I don't give a rat's colon. So...
You're small for guys.
And when I'm thinking of them making the statement about Fred and everything, I'm thinking of them, well, they draw and say everything.
Right.
Yeah, it's
I don't
a
look
cartoon.
Like Fred,
though.
I
yeah.
need to wear an ascot.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not a human being because I'm not wearing an ascot. Yeah.
It's really crazy how things have gotten. I don't know if I'm being insensitive to the to the target audience.
To the plight of the dog.
But, like, it's a talking dog cartoon. Like, you know, come on. It's
and if they didn't get on Bobby for this yet, you know, the Bobby dogs for this.
You're watching a show about a talking dog, but you draw the line at Daphne's waist.
Yeah,
give me a break.
And I just want to say, I want to see a full figure size Bobby out there. That's all.
Yeah, well.
Elaine Bryan Bobby. Anyway, go ahead.
And
yes.
Onto the next round of news as I throw my fist up in the air. from the I quote unquote, I have nothing better to do with that kind of money department until this Saturday, August 24th at 9 p.m.
Maybe Sunday. today, Sunday.
Oh, today. Okay. At 9 p.m., PT Action Comics number one is up for auction on eBay. What makes this so special is that this particular edition has a grade of 9.0 by CGC, an independent third-party comic book grading service. The highest grade is a 10. Of note, about 150 copies of Action Comics number one still exist today out of the 100,000 copies that were published in 1938 with a cover price of 10 cents. The current bid, as of Friday, is $2.5 million.
How much is that?
A lot.
$2.5 million.
Yeah, I'm not going to bid. I'm not going to bid on that.
$2.5 million.
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 It's 2.5 million.
No matter what. Yes.
And my man Nicolas Cage.
He's your man?
No, I'm being sarcastic, Mark. You come on. We've known each other for like a couple months. You know how my sarcasm works.
He has Shiloh. You have Nikki.
Nikki, Nikki.
Yes.
Nicolas Cage's copy of Action Comics number one holds the record at $2.161 million.
Wow. So I wish I could impersonate Nicolas Cage now.
He also bought an island, so he's not something smart. Good.
So that means that this will be a record-breaking auction for Action
Comics.
Yeah,
some idiot
one.
Will buy that comic for a record-breaking price.
It's probably, $3 million?
See, if I had that kind of money, I could pay off all my student loans.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you buy the comic.
I'll buy the comic, too.
The people who buy it, it's a mere drop in the bucket for them. Like Nicolas Cage. I mean, yeah, he could drop that money. Like
it's $50.
He bought an island.
Yeah, exactly.
He bought an island.
He bankrupted himself by buying an island
at one. He's going to fly in all the comics that he bought.
Yeah. He bought an island. A comic isn't too heavy.
So. I don't know, but on to the next. Speaking of controversy.
Mr. Segway or Mrs. Segway. Miss Segway.
Speaking of controversy.
Marvel Comics is facing another backlash of its own with the release of a variant cover of Spider-Woman number one drawn by none other than Italian erotic artist Milo Manara, who has been drawing the same way for about 40 years. Seems that the backlash stems from the portrayal of Spider-Woman's quote-unquote overtly sexualized pose on the cover. In Italian fanzine, Milo responded to the backlash by saying, and this is being translated from Italian to English, mind you. Did you use Google Translate?
No, that's what they used on the article. That
okay.
I
read.
Yeah.
Sidestepping responsibility there. Nope, it's not me. It's them.
By the way, our very own Charlie Saladino is holding up the actual image of the variant cover on the web camera.
Yep. Okay, he says, reading on the internet, I saw that criticisms have two different motivations. One is that the sexy and erotic side, the other is the anatomical error. What I wanted to do is a girl who, after climbing the wall of a skyscraper, is crawling over the roof. She finds herself on the edge and her right leg is still on the roof. So the criticism about anatomical issues that were made, I think they were wrong. She's not to have both knees on the roof. One leg is still down and the other is pulling up. Precisely for this reason, also, then this back arched. This is what I tried to do. That said, it's not my fault if women are like that. I'm only drawing them. It's not me who made women that way. Women's bodies have taken this form over the millennia.
Wow.
In order to avoid the, quote, extinction of the species, in fact. If women were made exactly as men, with the same shape, I think we would have already been extinct for a long time. It seems to me that both in the United States and around the world, there are things much more important and serious to worry about.
Proof positive this guy doesn't live here.
The events
are completely different values.
The events at Ferguson or the drama of the Ebola, that there are people getting angry for things like that. Unless there is, these days, a hypersensitivity to more or less erotic images, to this ongoing confrontation that we are supposed to have with Islam. It's known that the censorship of the female form should not be a feature of our own Western civilization. This is what I find also quite surprising. In any event, I remember that Marvel asked me to enlarge a little bit of the costume of one of those covers. So in general, if they have any objections, they tell me, and I concur, since the responsibility is theirs, it is their right to be cautious. Furthermore, it's the American market, so whatever. Also, I was given this assignment 3 to 4 months ago. It was and remains only a celebration of the body without any manipulation. I'd understand if they were real girls forced to do things that they don't want to do for commercial purposes, but it's just drawings. Santa Pienza, holy patience, in the parentheses. The book is due out and stands in November.
So in essence,
that was what they had to write for him, and his journalist is wrote that. But what he really says was, "Hey, when you climb over a ledge, you lady, you will look like this. Your behind is up in the air. What could I tell you? Vino, give me the wine."
Wow. Wait a minute, the guy said that he doesn't understand why people are getting upset, so
yes.
He apparently doesn't have the internet. Because that's all people do, is get upset about things on the internet.
Those Italians are so behind in technology.
I'm going to tell you, she looked like she painted a red. That's what she looked like.
The whole thing is stupid. Has anybody seen comic book covers, like, in the last 50 years?
No.
They're all anatomically incorrect and ridiculous and over-sexualized. Give me a break. The whole controversy is ridiculous.
Yeah, it's really ridiculous. She's climbing over a ledge and, you know, what the hell.
And she's hot while doing it. So that, you know why?
Yeah.
So the young horny guys can't buy the book.
There's not going to be any size 82 superhero that could climb up a ledge, okay?
Right. Or Megan Fox fixing a car in Transformers 1, right?
Yes.
And how much money does that movie make? $1 billion and a completely innocuous and mindless scene? Give me a break.
Let us not forget the important scene in Transformers 2 where she was working on the motorcycle. Okay?
That was,
let's not,
you know,
forget that. I know I haven't.
So I purposely got the two female oriented things just for our very own ex intern Kara.
So she can. Mark.
No, I want to hear her opinions on the whole thing. So what you're looking at the cover right now?
Yeah.
Being a knowledge of comic book industry and mm-hmm. anime and whatnot, mm-hmm. what are your thoughts about this whole controversy?
I mean, I've been being an anime fan for like a long time, I'm used to this kind of stuff. But at the same time, it just kind of gets swept under the rug because in anime, it's a norm when you see a girl who has her chest out to the other side of the world. And nobody complains about that. Nobody complains that they're bouncing all over the place or that it's overly sexy. I mean, I think there's nothing wrong with the picture. And I grew up, as you said, I grew up on comics thanks to my grandpa. And as Hassan said, they're all wrong in body structure.
They're all wrong.
They're
comics all
wrong.
Are all wrong.
And I mean, I personally see nothing wrong with the picture. And I told Mark off air, I said, you know, her butt is pretty nice looking. So, I mean, but see.
Now you could tell I'm old. I am the senior correspondent because when I look at that, it looks like a Valentine's candy box. Okay.
The only thing looking at, I think that the head is wrong. That's
oh yeah, we're all looking at the head.
I
yeah.
Like wow, that body really doesn't bend that way.
Yeah. Unless she's double,
you know what?
Jointed
if you,
or something.
If you just climb up the side of a mountain, the last thing you want to do when you get to the roof is crawl.
Yeah.
Spider pig, well, spider pig does whatever a spider pig does. but
and that is the new song.
I really find nothing wrong
with it. Like, and I think her hair is nice. I like her hair.
Yes.
So
her hair is nice. All right.
Okay. On to the next.
That's your woman's point of view there, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Harvey Dalsasson, based by Scavullo.
Okay. So oh, Godzilla. Godzilla. Oh. Yay. Oh.
I guess we have the next thing about Godzilla.
Like, shush, more news.
Godzilla is coming back, and according to Legendary Picture
Executive,
he won't be alone. The new Godzilla will feature Mothra, Rodan, and, I can never pronounce his name, Ghidorah.
Ghidorah.
Thank you.
Well, you can say either way. It's Ghidorah or Ghidorah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're Americans. We're dumb. We say Ghidorah.
And in an all-out brawl.
So that means that Godzilla, the sequel, is going to have Rodan, King Ghidorah, and Mothra in it.
Where's Gamera?
Gamera is a
different franchise.
But it's still the same company, though.
Huh?
It's still the same company, though. It's Toei.
No, not originally. It wasn't.
Mm-mm.
Oh, well, I know.
And that's A. And B, they were competitors, so that you probably wouldn't see them in the same film now.
See, I have a high expectations for this movie now because I was satisfied with the first one. I wish there was more action scenes, more fighting scenes. That's kind of my only disappointment. But I do have high expectations for the next movie. And I hope there's more fighting scenes. So
yeah, I thought the film was fantastic. I did think that they cut away too often to show us what Kick-Ass was doing, and I didn't care about what he was doing while he was on a train.
He had to save the kid.
Yeah, but I mean, the problem is that it's not a problem to cut away, but you got to cut away to something interesting.
And you have
you can't
to
cut away to I dropped my Walkman. Help me.
And it needs to be time. I wouldn't say it doesn't have to be time, but the cutaway should make sense. It should flow.
Yeah.
And, I mean, this is coming from a communications major who had to edit videos for 100-plus hours a week. So the flow should be there when it comes to cut scenes. But that's just me.
Totally agreed. I think the editor did that, or the editor director slash whatever the idea behind it was, actually to build tension and to kind of piss people off a little bit.
Mm.
It's just when you got what you wanted, or just when you thought you were going to get what you wanted, it would cut away.
I wish that they have the same scene in this new Godzilla as they did in the original one when they were all together, because I love watching them playing baseball. That was the highlight of me watching the original one, just slapping that rock back and forth.
Okay.
Oh my god!
I remember that.
Do we all?
I don't
remember?
Think that was Ghidorah and Rodan and Godzilla.
No,
I don't
it,
think
was. That was. That was Mothra, Rodan, and I think they were stopped by Ghidorah showing up. You know?
Man, you're doing the game. God, I hate you.
God. Okay. And then Ghidorah was like, "Where's your permit?" That was it.
Wow.
Well,
it's like I'm watching it right now.
Jeez. Mark.
Yeah. I agree. You got to stop him when he starts to ramble on like that.
In all seriousness,
you're the
though.
Host. You got to put an end to that.
I'm not the host today. This is all Kara.
I said it was her. It was her, not you, Mark. You
go, man. No, she was going with me, man. We were locked in.
I mean, on a serious note, now that there are more monsters, I expect there should be a definite
more action
scenes.
Yes.
I mean, unless
more monsters, less action.
What are you talking, Mark? Stop talking.
I hear Godzilla, too. That's the 1940-something one. Really? Really, Brian? Okay, you know what?
Yay, for Brian.
You know what? I sound like Godzilla when I talk.
No, okay. That was like sense around. I'm liking that.
You know what? I'm moving on to the next news.
So we have about one more item.
I think
before
you
we
should move on
right.
to the next piece.
Yeah.
Take it away with the next piece.
Bengal Mangal Productions has filed suit against Seth MacFarlane, Universal Pictures, and producers of Ted, claiming that Ted, quote, is an unlawful copy, unquote, of its animated Teddy, who was featured in two different web series, Charlie the Abusive Teddy and Acting School Academy, which aired in 2009 and 2010 on YouTube, funnierdie.com, and other websites. The suit reads, both Charlie and Ted reside in a substantially similar environment, including that both Charlie and Ted spend a significant amount of time sitting on a living room couch with a beer and or cigarette in hand. Charlie and Ted have a substantially similar persona, verbal tone, verbal delivery, dialogue, and attitude. Also, the suit claims that both Charlie and Ted maintain an active social media presence, including individual Twitter and Facebook accounts with similar postings. No comment from Universal or McFarlane are done as of yet.
So, Charlie, I didn't know you were
talking
to me.
I had
bear.
Nothing to say. My lawyer said don't say anything.
You can't talk about your lawyer present.
Can't talk about my little teddy bear that I live with.
I mean, I saw Ted. I thought it was hilarious. I'm a huge fan of Seth MacFarlane. And
did you see the Charlie?
No.
I just like the whole Flash Gordon thing. Okay, obviously you guys don't.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the movie.
Yeah.
One of my favorite parts of the movie is when the duck comes running in. And then
he's fighting the duck.
He's fighting the duck, and then the Asian guy comes in.
Death to Maine!
and he just looked... It was just such a good part of the movie. I was crying from
it's
that
it's
point.
It's like
on.
I'm watching it right now.
You know, Mark, I'm going to make you leave. All I'm right. the host.
Okay. Make him leave.
I'm liking
that. Leave.
So
I'm all for it.
We're ready for our break?
Yes. Go, Brian. Give us something.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at mfc_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We got some work to do now. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, where are you? We need some help from you now. Come on, Scooby-Doo. Shake and shiver. You know we got a mystery to solve. So Scooby-Doo, be ready for your act. Don't hold back. And Scooby-Doo, if you come through, you're gonna have yourself a Scooby snack. That's a fact. Scooby-Dooby-Doo, here are you. You're ready and you're willing. If we can count on you, Scooby-Doo, I know we'll catch that bill.
Scooby-Doo, where are you?
Right here.
And this is Jessica Drew, who as a child, while visiting her father's laboratory, was bitten by a poisonous spider. Forced to try an untested spider serum, Dr. Drew not only saved his daughter's life, but unknowingly gave her incredible spider-like powers. Dedicated to fighting evil while weaving her web of justice, it's Spider-Woman.
Thank you.
Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
Hi, Long Island. I'm back. It's Kara, the temporary host. For
not just Long Island.
Yeah. Okay, the world.
The world.
And I'm the temp host from It Came From the Radio.
Hey, San Diego, you stay classy.
And with me is the ex-host, Mark Torres.
Wow! Someone's been booted on the air on his call.
Kara just gave him the big kiddies.
With my senior correspondent, Charlie Saladino.
And happy to be here. Thank you.
And with the ever so cool Hassan Godwin.
Ever so cool.
Thank you.
Because you've been making fun of me for like 4 months that I'm here. So this is payback.
And, that's right, Mark. You deal with it, Mark.
Our very own man behind the glass.
Brian. And the no ex intern behind the glass because she's here up in the front. Yes. Victory achieved.
There you go.
So I saw.
What are we going to be talking about this week?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And I saw, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Sin City, and I want to see the sheep. And that's
That's just the following show. It's just Turtles.
Oh, it's just Turtles?
Thank God, because I would have saw Sin City.
See, there's dates on here.
Oh, there's dates.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I saw the movie. I took my mother, my poor mother, to see this movie because I didn't want to go by myself. And Charlie,
why didn't you bring your boyfriend? Why didn't you
because
drag
him? Because he was working. He works like 7 days a week at a restaurant. Wow. He's the manager. But I saw the movie, and the only thing that made me not leave was Michelangelo. Michelangelo and his comments, his antics, just made me stay because Michelangelo is actually my favorite turtle. He always was my favorite turtle. And Megan Fox served no purpose, and Mark loves
Megan. She served a purpose.
She did not serve a purpose. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
I'm gonna have to be here for that. Anyway.
I'm going to do myself a favor.
Carry on.
Yeah, this conversation.
Carry on.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, and Megan Fox plays April O'Neil, and as the journalist for Channel 6, and she basically is trying to get the latest scoop to bring herself up in the company because she's kind of a bad reporter and she's doing mediocre things as a reporter, like report.
Well, so it's consistent with Megan Fox's actual career.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Good. And she's doing reports from like yoga and Pilates and stuff like that. And she's been doing updates with the Foot Clan, and she witnessed the Foot Clan taking the supplies from the dock, and she saw the turtle. Forgot which one she saw, and she saw the Japanese symbol for family, and she took pictures of it, and she actually went to the company and said, hey, I got this proof, and nobody believed her, and they thought she was crazy, and they laughed in her face, and spoiler alert, I forgot to mention that, she also gets fired.
You know how to tell us the whole movie, right?
I know. Okay. I know. Yeah. She gets fired, and I was just very disappointed in the movie.
What a surprise. You didn't like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which is a Michael Bay production.
Yeah. Okay. You are a connoisseur of the original, that's mm-hmm. why.
And I was actually watching the second one, the Something from the Ooze.
Secret of the Ooze. With Vanilla Ice. Go Ninja, go Ninja, go Ninja, go Ninja.
And I'm watching this, and just like why the 90s one is so much better than this one. I mean, but that
they used to make real movies and write real scripts in the 90s.
I don't know. I would say watching the Turtles, being a Turtles fan myself, you know, all the incarnations mm-hmm. and the movies, and seeing this version just kind of made me think of the original 90s mm-hmm. version with the live action. I'm thinking, you know, if they had made this movie back then and they had more money, this is probably what they would have came out with. It had the same feel to me either way. I was like, all right, they're kind of, I felt in this one they actually took more from the cartoon and put it on there.
Wait, which cartoon are we talking about? Are we talking about the original? Because yeah. I thought you were talking about the latest one that Nickelodeon put out.
Well, actually, they even incorporated a little bit of that, too. Yeah,
they did.
Which made the scientist her father.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was kind of neat that it wasn't, as we always say with the show, it wasn't as bad as it was going to be, so it wound up being entertaining. I was very entertained.
I laughed.
It's a ridiculous movie, and they have so many ridiculous points in it. I'm sitting there like, well, that doesn't make any sense. But then you're thinking, it's a movie about talking Ninja Turtles, so you kind of gotta let this one go.
You
can't do that, though. You can't just take the thing and you say, the subject matter is so absurd, we don't have to make any sense out of it.
Well,
the art of it is to take something that's absolutely absurd and make it seem believable. Not the other way around.
For the original, it was kind of the same way. So it wasn't any better than the original, in my opinion.
I don't know. Just for some reason, it just didn't sit right with me with this one. I can't really pinpoint why it didn't sit right with me.
I think the Michael Bay stamp had a lot to do
with it. Other than the Michael Bay. When my mom saw it was Michael Bay, she looked at me and I'm like, oh.
I mean, because he didn't direct it, so...
Yeah.
But the feel of it had a Michael Bay feel to it. So I'm all right, I can see it has the Transformer-ish things going on where a lot of action's happening, you can't see what's going on, you can't make out what's happening. But I felt that this director and Nickelodeon Studios decided that they wanted to get some points from the other sources to try and make this an entertaining movie.
I expected that when the truck was falling down the side of the snow mountain that it was going to turn into a Transformer. I was waiting for it. But that's just me. But what really bothered me about this movie, was... Raphael was like, I don't want to be with you guys anymore. I want to go out on my own. I don't need you.
But that's how he was in the comics.
I know that's how he was.
Movie, right. The rogue.
I'm sure she has more to that thought.
Mark.
The ex-host.
And I know that's how it was in the original and the cartoon and stuff like that. But it was just all of a sudden he's like, oh. I suddenly need my brothers and this and that. And all of a sudden you hear him at the end. I love you guys. I was just afraid that I wasn't good enough and this. And I didn't realize my full potential and I kept putting you guys down. And I'm sitting here like, shut up.
There was no transition or evolution for the character.
Yeah.
He just kind of just turned around because he needed to be.
Yeah. And that turned me off. Like, I personally like those kind of characters where they're like, I don't need, if they're part of a team, but they were like, I don't need you guys. I want to be out on my own. And they end up becoming evil and they do all that. But that's my thing. But it was the way it was written out that it didn't sit right with me. And I don't know. I'm lost for words about it.
Which is good for a radio show.
Yeah.
I didn't like it.
Charlie didn't like it.
I didn't like it. I actually had to attend a 1:20 show, and I opted to spend my day with a lovely young lady on the beach. Thank you so much, Kat, for rescuing me from that movie.
What about you, Hassan? Did you actually manage to see the movie?
Heck no.
Okay, so me and Mark are the only ones.
I didn't even realize that we were going to be reviewing it because we had,
You missed the meeting.
I made the meeting. I didn't see it.
There's a phone. There's text. There's Facebook. There's a ton of ways to get in touch with me. But anyway, that's fine. That's cool. I wasn't really interested in going to see it. It really had nothing to do with the way the turtles looked. I just think it's been done to death. I know it's also a Michael Bay extravaganza. So, my feelings about that are well known. I saw the trailer. It didn't look really all that interesting. I just basically had no interest in it. So I really didn't, it wasn't kind of a snap judgment. I know this is going to be bad and I'm a real Turtles enthusiast and I'm not going to let this happen. It was really more, it's kind of the same, spoiler alert for weeks to come, it's kind of the same enthusiasm I have for Sin City. You know, it's like, okay, we've been here, we've done this. You know, this is a 10-year
you know, there's a sequel 10 years in the making, and I'm not interested anymore. And apparently, a ton of people aren't interested. So I had the same kind of enthusiasm for the Turtles. Like, you know, I'm sure it's a great kids movie.
Yeah, a lot of kids were, when my mom and I went, there were a lot of kids at the theater seeing this movie.
Yeah, but I mean, and also they turned Shredder into the, I mean, come on. I just saw some of the stuff they were doing, and I was immediately unintrigued and unenthusiastic about it.
It wasn't high-end by no stretch of the imagination. I think they knew who their target audience was, which was the kids, because obviously the point is to sell toys. You know, that's what it's all about. But for, you know, an old-school guy like me, I was able to sit back and appreciate what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't know if they were successful or not. Well, in my mind, they were. But overall, I would say if they were successful in what they tried to do, I can't be for sure. I mean, they're trying to please everybody and make an entertaining movie. And they're trying to distance themselves from the Michael Bay name, because I don't know if you noticed, as time went on,
Michael Bay,
they started pushing his stuff aside, especially when he got that backlash.
Well, he had made such a ham of the entire situation by trying to change the name to just a Ninja Turtle, and to say that they were aliens, and all that stigma had come attached to Michael Bay in the beginning, that he was again trying to do something unmentionable to your childhood memories, like he had done with the Transformers franchise. So I guess eventually, and I noticed when the movie came out, they went back to calling it Ninja Turtle.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Hassan.
With great enthusiasm, like the commercials and the advertisements and the trailers I saw, once the movie had actually dropped and actually came out, were just calling it Ninja Turtles.
What actually annoyed me was for the fact that there was a lot of sexual undertones actually in this movie. I get it; it's a PG-13 movie. It's going to happen, but with something like the Ninja Turtles, you really shouldn't do something like that.
With Michelangelo falling over Megan Fox for the entire movie.
Mm-hmm. And there was one part where they see Megan Fox, you hear Mikey go. It was something like, "Oh, she's so hot that my shell is tightening, or something like that." And then near the end of the movie, I think it was before the credits are rolling, they're jumping across the skyscrapers, and then they thought they were going to be seen, so they lash onto the chest of the poster board of, I think it was a Victoria's Secret model, and you see Ralph go look at Mikey, and Mikey's like, yeah, and he's like,
yeah, because it's a given that mutant ninjas would be hot for human women,
right?
It just makes so much sense.
And he and I'm just watching all this and hearing all the sexual undertones, and the kids are laughing at it because, oh, hey, it's funny, it's Michelangelo, that's how he is. But I'm sitting there, I'm like, they don't understand.
Did you like the part when I actually addressed the whole Ninja Turtle thing, the whole alien thing in the movie about they made fun of it? So
yeah.
What did you think of that?
I actually thought it was good. I mean, I thought it was... I don't know how to explain it, but I thought it was a good idea to how they addressed it, and the outcome of it when everybody was like, aliens, and then the best part is when the camera guy from
Vern,
he was like, okay, come on now, and then you see Ralph come busting through the back from the truck, and he's like, wait a minute, what, and in the end, it's still good because despite the fact that April got ridiculed, she lost her job, she's still keeping their secret, and that's okay. I was okay with it, so.
So you found that April, you know, having no story arc at all really helped.
I ignored it. I was trying to find the best in this movie without April having no storyline whatsoever.
Okay, so best and worst.
Yeah.
What was the best part of the movie? What was the worst part?
The best part of the movie was, I'm not going to lie, the CGI. Like, the CGI was good. That was, even my mom agreed that was the best part of the movie. And But I think, like, aside from the CGI, the best part of the movie was that in the end, they're still doing their thing and protecting everybody. And she's still, she's able to walk off happy, knowing that, you know what, I don't need anybody's, like, acknowledgement over this story or whatever. And she's happy living her life, keeping their secret, even though she lost her job and she was humiliated and all that. That, I think that was the best part of it.
I think best part would be the kind of, like, light tone that they kept with the movie without being too serious or too... They didn't take themselves too seriously, so you can accept a lot of things that you normally wouldn't be able to. I mean, many times on the show, we've always talked about how the difference between the tone of a movie can really take how you accept it. Mm-hmm. If a movie is taking itself seriously, then you can be like, well, you have to be more stringent on what points are they trying to make, and things have to make more sense. As opposed to a movie that's kind of more ridiculous, such as Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, where he's on a train fighting vampires, on a moving train fighting vampires, sharing one axe between two people. You kind of just accept it, like, all right, because they're not taking themselves too seriously. So in this movie, I thought that because they weren't taking themselves too seriously, I was able to sit back and enjoy it, because, ooh, if it was a serious movie, I would also hate it.
Because everything in that film had been so absurd from the start, so it's consistently absurd. When you get to the climax and two guys are on a moving train sharing an axe, you're like, yeah, well, this kind of jives with the opening scene of the movie, which was just as absurd. So, I mean, like, you know, like the original Turtles movies were pretty absurd. I mean, they just kind of embraced the absurdity and just kept going with it, so that by the time you get to the end, you're not really upset that there's a guy in this, you know, giant metal, there's a ninja guy in giant metal bright silver armor on the rooftop fighting four turtles and a giant rat. You know, you kind of go with it at that point. Oh. And that's important.
That actually reminds me. That was something that I thought was awesome, how they really made Splinter do stuff in this movie. I felt that, that, you know, you have the Ninja Master should be doing some Ninja Master stuff. And I've always felt that he didn't really do anything in the cartoon.
No.
He didn't do anything in the first movie. Mm-hmm. He didn't do anything in all movies. But this one, they actually gave him
Yoda
stuff.
This was the
Yes, it's like when Yoda, what was it, episode 2, right? Attack of the Clones, when Yoda just went all crazy and the entire audience was like, because he finally did something.
This,
like,
was
wow.
The only time where I thought a rat was cool. That was the only time. Because I hate rats and their tails are disgusting.
Rats are not well loved. So it's okay.
But I think they did a good job with Splinter. He, even the emotion with Splinter was pretty good for me, and I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. And the fighting scenes with Shredder and Splinter, that was pretty cool. And it broke my heart when, I mean, I knew he wasn't gonna die, but they were like, no, Dad, Sensei, no.
Well, it's usually spoiler. The rule of the kids movies. It's usually the formula of the kids movies that the father figure gets either in trouble or killed.
Oh, is that what you mean? I get it.
Yes.
I understand.
It's like we have an intelligent Herman here.
I mean, well, Mark is the movie expert since he works in a movie theater and he sees movies for free.
Free.
And the rest of us have to pay, even though he offered for me to come see the movie for free.
Well, most of the movies we see, we end up paying for anyway.
Yeah.
Just
emotionally.
Emotionally.
Exactly. Well done, Charlie.
That's 2+ hours of my life emotionally. I'll never get back.
You'll never get back ever. And me, at my age, that's important.
But from start to finish, the movie... the movie.
Mark just slapped her for liking the movie.
The movie from start to finish, while it did have its inconsistencies, it and its lightheartedness, it was okay. I don't recommend seeing it for older folk.
Wasn't that okay then? It wasn't okay to the point where you should see it. But I didn't have a seizure, so therefore it was okay.
I mean, if you want to take your kids to go see it, fine, go ahead. They'll enjoy it because they won't. They'll have a good time and they won't understand the sexual undertones, whatever. But for as a kids movie, it's great. But as for a regular moviegoer who's like 18 and up, don't bother seeing it unless you have kids.
Wait a minute. A regular moviegoer is 18 and up?
I don't know. That's just, I mean, why would a 12-year-old be a regular moviegoer?
I consider myself an irregular moviegoer. And the favorite part about this movie.
Well, irregular and goer don't go together in the same thing.
Yeah, that's true. It's an oxymoron. But the best part I liked about this movie is that I didn't go.
Good.
I figured I'd say that now.
Good, because it's money you'll never, money and emotions and you'll never get back.
I put it this way. I was on the beach today with a very lovely young lady.
Really? You were you?
I was, and I'm glad that I didn't take that 2 hours away from the experience. Okay, the end. Go.
But Mark, what are your final thoughts on the movie?
Oh, I get to go first. I say it was entertaining. I enjoyed it.
Mark was also entertained by Lint.
There are other movies.
You know, I just heard
the late reaction right there.
Yeah, it went to Brian first, and then I got it. It was like, Lint!
It was entertaining. I say if you have nothing else to see, you go see that. There are way worse movies out there to see, and there's way better movies, but it's out there now if you want to just...
And by nothing else, he means watching old lady walk across the street. If that's not happening, then yeah, go see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I mean, as we go through the years, we're going to have our final show at the end of the year about best and worst movies.
Best and worst movies.
It's right in the middle.
A warning.
It's not,
at least we got a prior warning.
It's not, you know, it's not... It's not on the extremes. It's kind of in the middle. It was entertaining. That's my final thought on that. So go see it. Matinee show. No 3D.
No 3D. Never 3D.
I thought it would have been cool in 3D because of the part where they're falling down the mountain. I think that would be the best part of the 3D. But that's just me. Hassan, since you didn't see the movie, what are your final thoughts?
Did we convince
my
you to see the movie?
My final thought is... I'm going to go see this movie just because you guys have said it's so bad. And I want to see just how bad it is so I can be at the same place of indignance that you guys are at.
Even?
oh,
my God. I can't.
Yeah, but I don't know. No, don't go see it. It's a waste of time. Don't go see it now. Don't go see it in 3D. I didn't see it. These guys saw it. I didn't waste my 2 hours. I'm cool. Everything's cool. Life is good. Move on.
Yeah, I'm kind of thinking when we're talking about last thought, my last thought would be,
I wish I was on the same beach, not the same beach, but I wish I was on a beach where Charlie was. That would have been a better experience.
Yeah.
I wasn't on a beach. I was out school shopping.
Yeah, that's how you know I love this show. I actually stopped that wonderful experience to come here, which was also a wonderful experience.
So
good save.
So there's like two minutes left, so we're gonna wrap up the show with me as the temporary host. I want to thank Mark for letting me do this. I feel like I didn't do so well right now, and
you did lovely.
You'll feel way better when you listen to the archives of our previous shows versus this one, and hear absolutely no difference in quality.
And I want to thank Charlie and Hassan for putting up with my shenanigans and my laughter because I was nervous and I couldn't control myself. And I should not have said that on air. And I would love to do this again sometime real soon. And before we go... Before we go, don't forget to get the TuneIn app for your multimedia devices. That way you can listen through your phone. Follow It Came From The Radio on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Their Twitter name is capital ICFTR. And the archives will be updated on itcamefromtheradio.com in about a week. So, peace out, Long Island.
And the world.
And the world.
Beckities.
You have been listening to It Came From The Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.
expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.